Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
James chapter 1. Count it all joy, my brothers. You know the next part if you're familiar with this. It's like, oh yeah, this is that scripture verse that my spirit says to go, woohoo, and my flesh goes, I hate this part. You know, count it pure joy when you go through times of testing your faith or trials of various kinds. Trials of various kinds. I want you to know that your story might be unique, but it is included when it says various kinds of testing of your faith and mine. Yours could be unique. You could feel like you're the only one, but you're covered. You are not, your story, your hardship is not an exemption or excluded from this passage. Trials of various kinds, every kind. So count it all joy. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll touch on it. When you meet trials of various kinds or the testing of your faith. Look at this. For you know that the testing of your faith produces. Now, I want us to think about this. That the testing of your faith produces something. I mean, what is faith if it's not tested? I mean, why have it? Right? I mean, what faith is required if there is no test, if there is no hardship, if there is no difficulty? I mean, isn't it wonderful to be tested and realize that God hears your prayers and He intervenes and He works on your behalf? It's one of the things that testing does. It draws, it demands faith. And that faith produces a fruit. It produces something. What does it produce? What's it say? Perseverance. And whoever said it produces more faith, you're right. But it produces perseverance. Now, perseverance, we know, is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We know that it says in the Scripture that God has given us everything we need in His divine power to live a life of godliness. And it goes and begins to go through these characteristics, these fruits of the Spirit, the fruit and evidence of God in someone's life. And included in that list is perseverance. The testing of faith produces a fruit. Testing produces fruit. Sue and I, we decided this year that we would plant a very, very small garden. When I say very, very small, I'm talking 8 feet long, maybe 5 feet wide. And I mean, it's small. You know, we don't have all of our children living in our house where we got to have all this stuff. But the reason it's small is I mentioned to her that neither of us, and you may have heard me say it, neither of us are really great at weeding. I'm a rip stuff out, put more black screen down, throw more, you know, wood chips over it, and just hope stuff doesn't poke through. So we'll try a small garden, and we'll see if we're faithful with this little garden compared to, you know, maybe doing something a little larger or more next year. We'll see. Well, this garden is just poof. It's just blowing up. It's getting big, and it's just like, I didn't really count on this. This might be too much stuff for this little spot. We'll see. But this little garden has had to really weather a lot of things already. I mean, obviously the heat, and we know it needs warmth, but I mean, some of this heat has been, you know, it's hot. It's drying stuff up. And we drowned it every night, you know, with water when it's not going to rain. And it's got to weather that watering, because I really don't feel like carrying a big bucket all the way over to the garden, and so our holes only reach us so far. And then you have that spray, you know, the kind of the spray head, you know what I'm talking about? And you have different settings, you dial it on. Well, the only thing that's going to reach it is the jet stream. Any other setting, it just kind of falls short. So the jet stream. So, you know, you try to tilt it up so stuff falls on it gently. It just, you know, and so you, then you get the far side, you got to level it out. I mean, stuff, you know, it. The wind last night, the storm here, I mean, I'm watching trees and everything else, and my, you know, then my garden looks small, and the stuff just going, thinking, hang on, baby. It's had to weather some things. It's had to go through some testing to produce something. It's had to endure, persevere, our eight-month-old now, Neapolitan Mastiff. She's got paws on her that, you know, are half the size of my hand already. And she, for some reason, has got to jump through that timbered section with our garden. I mean, you can see footprints in there from her. Sue, she yells at her. Her name is Giovanna. We just call her Gia. She's, Gia, get out of that garden. I've had to yell at her, too. I usually laugh first. I'm like, what are you, nutty? What do you got to, get out of there. I mean, we live on the edge of town in a kind of a rural sub, older sub. I mean, we have almost an acre lot. Why would she have to run through that 5 by 8 foot little? What, to test my faith? No. This garden has had to go through stuff, but it, to why? Because it's producing something. It's hung in there. Listen, I want to tell you this morning, I don't know what you face. I don't know what difficulty. I don't know what hangs on to you from your past that makes life difficult. But there's the joy that we get because we're going somewhere. It's not about, I'll just tell you, it's not about the test. I mean, the test is important because, you see, it produces perseverance. And it says now that perseverance, if we let it, that's a really important word, and let perseverance. That word let, it means that our will has a part in this. I either will allow, okay, this fruit that's come, perseverance, I either choose to let it bring about maturity and completeness in me, or I can say, no, I'm not going to let it do that. I'm tired, I'm worn out, I've had enough, this doesn't seem to be working, I quit. I quit. I'm done. This is too hard. It's too demanding. It's too overwhelming. I quit. What happens at the point we quit? Look at this. Count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces a fruit. The fruit is perseverance. Now this perseverance, if you let it, it will have, if you let it have, if you choose, if I choose to let it have a full effect, or in some translations, and I like this word, it says, if you let it work. See, this fruit, perseverance, is employed. If we let it work, if we let it labor for us, if we choose to let perseverance labor, then we may become perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I mean, now, let's start here. Wouldn't you like to be complete? Oh, let me put it this way, because, you know, you may say, yeah, or I am, or I'm really far along. Let me put it this way. Those of you in the room who are married, wouldn't you like your spouse to be finished? Wouldn't you like them to be complete? Huh? Yeah, we're from a perspective that, you know what? I want to be there. I want to move to maturity and completeness. See, some translations will say, let perseverance work on your behalf, that you will become complete and you will become mature. Say the word mature. Some of you say mature, but we're just going to use mature here today in Sparta, Wisconsin. Mature. Complete. I know some of you wives, yeah, I sure wish my husband would grow up. He'd become mature. In our faith, for those who are believers, we say, I'm going to become mature. I want to be complete in my faith. Well, listen, there is no stepping right to that. There is no bypass around. There's no tunneling under. The process is this. We have faith. It gets tested. And the testing produces a fruit. It's called perseverance. And if we will let perseverance operate and work in our life, it will bring about maturity and completeness in us. That's the process. There is no jumping from where we are to maturity and completeness. I don't care if you've been walking with the Lord for 40 years. 40 years does not determine maturity. It just means we got old. Maturity comes by the testing of faith through perseverance working on our behalf because we allow it. We accept it. And so therefore, when we know the finished product is maturity, I'm going to mature, I'm going to be complete, I'm going to be lacking nothing. Now we say, aha, I can take joy in my soul, even though I hate the testing of my faith, I can take joy in it because I know that it's going to produce a fruit. And that fruit, I'm going to let work on my behalf, and now I am going to be mature and complete and live a life that is honoring to the one I declare that I'm following so that others can see that he is good. This life is hard. You know it. It is difficult. But at the moment, listen to this, at the moment that we don't let perseverance, that we choose to stop it from working, we quit. Life's too hard. This situation is too difficult. My past is too troubled. I just can't fight this anymore. I'm so frustrated. I can't break this habit. And it's we just the testing of our faith, and we feel like we fail, and we go back. It's just too hard. I'm just quitting. At the moment that we quit, and we stop perseverance from having its full effect or working on our behalf, we have decided that we will not be mature and we will not be complete. We're done. We're done. It's over. But if we allow perseverance and we choose to let perseverance, we choose to stay in it when our faith is tested. And we allow it to produce something. And our roots go deep. And we hang on. Regardless of circumstance, regardless of the situation, regardless of the difficulty, regardless of how uncomfortable we get, or disappointed we get, or mistreated we get, we persevere. No matter what events unfold in our life, that now life changes, and it is at some point it just got really difficult. An event happened or something finally unfolded, and it's like it took the wind out of our sails, and we're overwhelmed, and we grow weary. It seems like it's too much. And if at that point we decide, I'm done. Forget this faith thing. We have decided that we will never be mature and we will never be complete. I mean, the Lord promises in His Word. He is faithful, right, to complete the work He started in you. He's committed. We have to choose to agree. We have to embrace the testing of our faith because we know it produces fruit. And the fruit it produces is perseverance. And perseverance, if I choose, if I let it have its work in me, I will become mature and I will be complete and I will be lacking nothing. If I choose to not let perseverance work, I give it unemployment. I'm not going to allow it to function. I'm going to resort to my way, my thoughts, my natural tendency. I'm going to allow brokenheartedness and whatever else has happened and being mistreated in life. I'm going to let that take over. I want you to know that you will never become mature and you will never be complete. And the interesting thing is, because I'm acquainted with myself and with humanity, that we will end up using our difficulty, our hardship, as an excuse / reason to justify our immaturity and stop us from continuing to develop as a person and grow in our faith. And we will feel so justified because, well, it was just too hard and God understands. Listen, I'm very acquainted with the ability to deceive myself. Humanity to deceive itself, because after all, God is gracious, and well, he has to accept me as if he's obligated. He's obligated when he has plainly given us revelation and we live in disobedience to it and we still think God is obligated. Even though I don't want perseverance to labor on my behalf, I still think that he's going to make me mature and complete. How can I assume that? How can I assume that going against his word, I'm still going to become the finished product? Well, because he's gracious and merciful, and you know, he's obligated to accept me because, you know, way back when I asked him into my life. I have sentiment towards God. I love him. Jesus said, if you love me, obey me. So the obedient life is, testing my faith is going to come, and it's going to produce perseverance. And I will choose to let perseverance work, labor, so that it will produce in me a maturity and a completeness, and I will lack nothing. He said, that's easy for you, Randy. You're a pastor of the church, and life's pretty good, and you got a wonderful wife and good kids and grandkids. And I'll get to maybe a little bit of my story in a moment. I want you to look with me at Colossians chapter 1. It'll be up here, verse 9 through 12. And so from the day, Paul's writing this to them, he says, so from the day that, you know, we heard of you, we haven't ceased praying for you. We're constantly praying for you. And he goes to share of what he prays for them. We ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now I want to pause here. As of this morning, God's word, God's will, has been explained to you and I in this room. And the Holy Spirit has given you and I understanding in a very specific way. We understand that there's a testing of our faith, and it produces perseverance. And perseverance, if it labors, it will complete us and bring us to maturity, lacking nothing. We all understand it. That's God's word, it's God's will, it's God's way. Now he prays, I pray that you have this knowledge of God's will and spiritual wisdom, and understanding. Why? So that we can walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. In other words, the one that we declare we follow, if I will give myself to his word and the testing of faith, etc., etc., I don't want to have to quote it all again to you, that is his will and way, and if I do that, I will walk in a manner that is pleasing to him. And that will exemplify who he is and how wonderful and faithful he is, even in hardship and through hardship and struggle and wrestling and challenge in this life, that others will look at it and go, whoa, They are a good representative of who they say they're following. And I wonder if their master would do that for me. That other broken humanity would look and say, there's healing and there's strength in this one they call Jesus. Mary, is there more to this verse? Would you like to put that up? Bearing fruit. Ooh, we talked about that. Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. This is what he's praying for them. Being strengthened. In other words, when we're weak, he strengthens us. All power according to his glorious might for all endurance, perseverance, and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints. We cannot do this without him. This life, it's just too hard. There's a lot about this life that we enjoy and we love and we understand. There's things about this life that we don't understand. Why it happened, when it happened, whatever it was. How come I grew up like this? How come I grew up like that? How come I lost my job? How come I... And all these things, events, decisions other people make, the way we're treated or mistreated. And we look at all these various testings. They're supposed to bring us eventually through the fruit of completeness and maturity. That we don't resort to our own tendencies, our own corruptness, our own way of trying to cope. That he brings us to a place of maturity and completeness that we can exemplify who he is. And he will strengthen us to endure and be patient with joy and gratitude. And that we will come to a place where we will receive the inheritance that he purchased for us because we allowed, we let, we chose to endure to the end. I am about to do one of my least favorite things in front of you. You know that I tell stories about our family and the different things and let you kind of into our life that way. But one of my least favorite things is to talk about weakness. Maybe you can measure it however you want. You can call it, well, it must be pride, it must be arrogance, it must be this or that or the way you grew up or whatever it is. I mean, you know, the way I grew up is, you know, we don't tolerate weakness. Weakness is not really acknowledged. You're going to be strong. You're going to be tough. We don't let on that we're hurting. We don't have a pity party. We don't cry about it. You just cover it up and go on. Because after all, we wouldn't want to think that weakness was part of the family tree. Because fruit doesn't fall far from the tree kind of thing. So it reflects on the family. I'm going to break the family rule today. I've been acquainted with weakness throughout my life, just like you. But I've been acquainted with weakness over the last 4+ years. Now, many of you already know, and I'm not here to relive a story. And I want you to know that as I tell this little piece of my story, please don't mistake in this. This message is not about me. But I'm just going to tell you a little bit of my story. Because it relates to what I'm sharing with you this morning so that you understand I'm not just calling it from the cheap seats as a pastor. Read the scripture, explain it, and then tell everybody to do it. This whole enduring, persevering in the face of difficulty is hard. There's days you wonder if he hears you. And I'm not casting doubt towards the Lord. I know he hears me. But I'm supposed to persevere. I'm supposed to let that endurance, that perseverance, bring me to a place of completeness that pleases him, that I become like him, and that no excuse, no event, nothing in this life is supposed to be more powerful than his blood to forgive and his spirit of life that brings us to a place where we overcome and we get through. Either he is true or he is not. And if I quit, I will never get to see that. And I will not walk worthy of the manner of the Lord. My life will not speak of him. So how do we get through all this stuff we face, all these various kinds of testing? Do it with joy to come to a place of completeness. I'm not going to go through all this, but I'll just say this, that all of you know, or most of you know, over 4 years ago, I fell from over 20-some feet. And I'm not here to belabor and talk about this, but this is part of a story that I'm going to confess to you this morning. I was reminded yesterday as I stood in a cemetery to do a graveside service for a family. One of the side conversations that somebody brought up, it was not me, I didn't even allude to anything. They were telling me a story about a family member that fell from 13 feet. They were in the hospital. Their list was long of all the damage, brokenness, puncturing, fractures, all the stuff that was in their body. They laid in the hospital. By the way, they're going to be okay. But they talked about how the physician came in and said to them, "What is your name?" And the person told them their name. And the physician reached out his hand, put it on the man's, and he said, "I am so glad that you're alive, that I can meet you. Because at 13 feet when you fall, almost always you go directly to the morgue." And I was reminded again yesterday of my gratitude to the Lord when I fell from over 20-some feet. And at all appearance, you know, I'm not a perfect specimen, but I look like, hey, nothing ever happened to this guy. Many of you know that I carry physical pain every day in my backside, blah, 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 blah. I don't tell the story so that you feel sorry for me or that you feel you got to be, you know, gentle with me or you got to, you know, oh, poor pastor, we should be really nice to him. Listen, be really nice to me, but not because of the story. Don't feel sorry for me. That's not the point of this. At the beginning, it's a question of why did this happen? But my question changed quickly with the help of the Lord because this is a various kind of thing for me. You know, I thought I fell, I'm going to mend up, and we're back to going. Well, that's not the story. I thought the new question I needed to ask was, why did you let me live? Not why'd you let me live. No, no. Why did you let me live? What's the reason? What's the purpose? Yeah, to be a husband and be a father and you still pastor, but I appreciate all of that and the significance of it, but why? Why did you let me live? What is it you have in mind? And I'm not looking for him to say, oh, well, here's this glorious purpose. You're going to go to South America or wherever and tens and hundreds of thousands of people are going to come to Christ. Listen, that's not what I mean. Why'd you let me live? Is there something you want to do in me that is just going to bring you pleasure? Period. Not notoriety, not some famous outstanding thing that people will go, oh, look at them, and oh, no, no. Is there something just between you and me that you want to do in me that pleases you? The other stuff can still happen in my life, but what is it? Is there some reason, is there something you want to do that's going to bring you pleasure just about me. Whether everybody else ever noticed it or not, is it perseverance? Are you trying to bring me to completeness? Are you trying to grow me up and make me mature? Are you trying to help me walk in a way that is, you know, a manner that is proper for a believer in Christ that brings you pleasure in this life? Why'd you let me live? I remember falling May 1st of 2014. It was almost exactly 2 years later. And in those first 2 years that I fell, it was a lot of physical stuff that I fought with. And, you know, I keep hearing my dad, this is before he moved here, growing up, you know, hey, get up, get moving, let's go. Come on, come on. What's your last name? All that stuff. Help motivate me. I'd pray, I'd read the word, I'd just hope in the Lord and do the best I could. And it got to the point where I started to notice some other things about me that weren't right. Now, and some of you are going, why didn't you just talk to me? I could have told you stuff that wasn't right with you long before you fell. You know, I get it. You know, I get it. I give myself a hard time. I get it. Ha ha. You know. But I saw things over those 2 years that I just couldn't get a grip on. I watched motivation just fall right off. Now, understand, this was all after a point of an event. Up to that point, I was the guy who says, let's fish till dark, and there's a good spot over there. Who would paddle back or row back in the dark, even on the verge of a storm because you saw it coming. I mean, I lacked wisdom, trying to pack as much in. Hey, going to golf 18 holes was a waste of time. Let's play 36. And then at the end of 36, you know what? It's still daylight. How many more holes can we get in? I have known to play golf in the dark. Hit the ball, and that one felt a little right. Let me walk that direction. I have people around me who witness this stuff, who know this stuff. Pack as much in as I can. This is life. Get worked in, jam this in, all of that. And I watched after an event. You know, you just think, well, I'll just kind of bounce back physically. I'll, you know. I mean, I was the guy a month later who got on his Harley, who was in lots of physical pain, just take a 5-minute loop around town and come back. That's not smart. It's not smart at all. But you know what it was for me? I just want to make sure I can still do it. I'm going to do it. And I watched over 2 years of simple tasks become very difficult for me. I noticed it. Things like, you know, some of it was mental and emotional, not just physical stuff. I was a 95 percenter with names, new names. Meet somebody new. I have people in the church that say, man, how do you do that? How do you remember all that? How do you? Listen, it was something I developed, I worked hard at, and it became natural for me. And after this fall, I had trouble recalling new people's names. I had to run to my office and write it down. Somebody just came to me this morning with a prayer request. Normally, you could throw a ton of things at me on a Sunday morning, as busy I am, and all the other different conversations, and people thinking, well, I'm here, I don't have to call the church office, so here, blah, 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 and blah, blah. And that's fine. I'm good with it. But I got to go now and write myself notes in my office. I never had to do that. And I know some of you are thinking, well, that's just getting old. I understand I'm older, but I'm not old. I'm not old. You can say what you want. I'm not old yet. Simple things, natural things, became difficult for me. Tasks, small tasks and projects at the office or at home, they're very difficult. They became very difficult. And I said, what in the world? Motivation, energy. Here's one. I noticed that things that I know up here that I like, all of a sudden, I didn't really care. I mean, I talk about Harley and I wear a Harley shirt and I still ride. But I remember this day. It was within the two-year time frame. I had somebody call me and said, hey, a few of us are maybe going to get on our Harleys later and we're going to go riding. You going to come? He said, I'll call you later. I said, yeah, okay. And this is the point. This was a point where I went, that's it. Something's not right. As I was hanging up and disconnecting my phone, I said, I hope they don't call me. Now, who's that guy? Things that I enjoy become work. Playing golf, I make myself do it. You think, oh, that's real rough. I get it. I'd laugh at that too. But I got to keep myself doing it. It's work. And I don't mean just because you see me play golf. Yeah, that's a lot of work. You're horrible. I came to a point, I sat at my dining table, and Sue was bragging about how good this doctor was for her broken foot. Kept hearing about this doctor. Now, the only time I go to doctors, and this is no offense to any doctors, it's not that I don't trust you or anything, I've been a pretty healthy guy all my life, other than kidney stones, which, you know, hurts more than giving birth to a child. Hey, I'm kidding. Well, the ladies are ready. Oh, yeah, I'm going to, you know, a little easy. I'm just kidding. Had the kidney don't go. And I sat there that day, and my wife was at the island in the kitchen. And I said, I made a doctor's appointment. I think she fell over. I'm not sure. She said, you what? I said, I made a doctor's appointment with your doctor. I remember putting my head in my hands. I said, something's not right with me. And I'm thinking it's all this physical stuff that's just wearing me out. I mean, my sleep has never been great, but it's just harder to fall asleep. It's harder to stay asleep. I mean, I even think, man, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I'm going to go to bed early. This is just a few nights ago. I went to bed at 9 o'clock. I woke up at 11:22. Not the next morning. 11:22. So I get on Marco Polo and start sending messages to my sleeping family. You can ask board members who have to communicate or emails or text messages. They'll get messages from me, emails from me at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m. That's why I have a couple board members aren't afraid to call me at 5 a.m. You know, I'm there. I don't want to say that I don't sleep at all. I do, but when I get into a good sleep, now it's time to kind of get up. It's not a complaint. I'm just telling you that there are some battles and some struggles, and I think, what in the world? This is hard. Life got hard. I mean, I faced different trials and tests just like you. But this is when simple things become difficult. And I said to her, I said, something's not right. I'm going to the doc. She says, okay, I'm coming with you. I said, no. She said, then you better promise to tell me everything because she knows I won't. Okay, we're even. She knows I won't. I said, I promise. I don't need her going with and holding my hand and acting like my mother. Oh, it's embarrassing enough just going to the doctor and saying, something's not right with me. And I'm thinking it's all the physical stuff. I'm describing him physical stuff. He's asking me other questions. I'm telling about motivation and fulfillment and all these different things that I'm just not, you know, it all happened after this event. It's happened 2 years ago. I finally got to the point where I said, I need to see a doctor. He says, well, I can tell you what's wrong with you. I said, perfect. Tell me, let's fix it and let me get out of here. He says, well, I'm going to do all the due diligence that you want, like you're concerned about the pain and your breathing and your chest and your energy, blah, blah, blah. He says, but I already know what's wrong with you. I'm going to put you through all the tests. You'll come back and go on through stress tests and all these kind of tests, blah, 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 blah. And then at the end, Randy, I already know you're going to get a clean bill of health. I said, okay. I'm thinking, yeah, that's not right. You don't know what I feel. He says, I can tell you what's wrong with you. I said, okay, go ahead and tell me. Let's fix it. What is it? He says, from your fall 2 years ago, you sustained a brain injury. I'm like, okay, I don't want to be rude, but are you talking to somebody else or I'm out of here? I didn't come here to hear that I'm a nut job. I mean, that's my attitude. I didn't come here to hear I'm a nut job. I know I'm a little crazy, but I'm not a nut job. You're telling me I got some kind of mental disability now, and I've got, you know, I'm just hearing this for the first time. I'm like, okay, I thought you were a good doctor. My wife likes you. So he put me through all the tests. I go back, you know, a couple months later after all these different tests are done, and he says, okay. He goes through everything. Physically, you're fit. I know that I could lose some weight, just relax. Okay. But healthy. And then he looks at me with this grin, this little bit of arrogance. So you tell me what's wrong with you. He wants to hear me say, okay, I got a brain injury. Well, I didn't say that to him. I just said, okay, well, maybe you were right about whatever you said. He writes me a prescription for one of how many hundreds of medications there are for different variances of PTSD. Prescription. I come home with that. Sat at the end of the table. She's in the kitchen island where she spends most of her time cooking and baking. It's her fault that I'm fat. Okay. Put the prescription down. My attitude is, I want you to put me on some mental medication. Now, for those of you in this room who take that or on PTSD stuff, just hang on to the story. Remember the first time maybe you were told this. I mean, I've been, you know, not invincible, but in my mind, pretty invincible. And life began to change. It got hard. All this stuff. Prescription. And then there was this gentle little voice from across the kitchen island. Because I was like, I ain't taking this. She says, well, I think it takes more of a man to admit the weakness and to actually go and take the prescription and fill it. And inside, I went like this. I was going to tell her off. But I will tell you this. No words came to me. Believe it or not, no words came to me. I couldn't go. I was ready to fire, and I had nothing to fire. I don't know if it was the brain injury, didn't give me the words, or if the Holy Spirit just said, not now. Gave me medication, didn't do anything for me. Gave me another medication. He said, we don't know what's wrong or what part. Be patient. There's hundreds of medications. So, you know, this for depression, this for PTSD, change the medication. I had a little more focus, but it was gone quickly in the day, changed to a different medication. That medication got me aggravated. This third one, I started to feel agitated for no reason. And that is not kind of my natural, normal, you know, angry makeup. You know, it's just not. And I remember the day that I stopped after taking it for a very short time. I was walking onto the garage, and I had a couple of trash bags. My arms were full of trash bags that were full of trash. And I went out through the garage door. I was going to go out and take it to the garbage cans. And one slipped out and fell on the garage floor. And I got so angry, I kicked that thing across the garage floor. And the moment I did that, the Holy Spirit arrested me. He said, you don't act like that. I said, I know. Right? Right? I said, I have been feeling agitated and aggravated for no reason. Nothing could happen. Nothing was going on. I could just do normal things. I was feeling this aggravation and agitation. I said, that's it. Who in the world wants to ever come in to see an angry pastor? You know, I'm in here for grace, mercy. I'm broken. I need help. I need good counsel and wisdom. Man, you're just an angry dude. You know, who wants that? I said, I'm done. I told him I'm done. The doctor eventually relocated. I haven't been on a medication for, I don't know, well over a year. Even when I had them, I wasn't as diligent. I was for a bit, and then when they didn't work, I didn't. Listen, I'm telling you all this Because we learn to persevere, and sometimes the race changes. Listen, my race is not against your race. My race that's marked for me, the one I got to run, is mine. Paul says there's a race that's marked for you. It's your race, not my race. My race is my own. My perseverance is based upon what I face. Your perseverance is based upon what you face. It is not a competition with one another. I run this race alone. I mean, we run the race together and link arms. But listen, this is mine. I have to persevere. Yours, you have to persevere. You have to let it work on your behalf. When things are frustrating, you don't understand, and life is hard. You come through a horrible divorce, and you're broken, and you're beat up, and you're angry, and you're sad, and you're insecure, or whatever's going on. Listen, keep showing up. Keep showing up in life. Your childhood was all broken and busted up, and you maybe still don't even know who you are or how you're supposed to function. Listen, you keep showing up with Jesus. You keep fighting the battle. Listen, if your battle is self-righteousness, and you think you got most of it together, and what's wrong with everybody else? Listen, you fight the battle of walking genuinely humble before the Lord. That's your race. And you endure, and you stay with it. If you have a habit you just can't break, listen, keep showing up. Keep seeking the Lord. Keep coming to church. Stay in the fellowship with people. I don't care how uncomfortable it is. I don't care how difficult it is. I don't care if it goes against your personal preference or you can blame it on your personality. Listen, there is only one way. That's through the testing of the faith that produces a fruit called perseverance. And if you will let it work, it will bring you to completion. The moment you stop, you will never be mature and never be complete. You'll just grow old. I don't care if people mistreat you and they could be in the church. It is no excuse, I'm sorry, for you to remove yourself from fellowship with believers. Listen, you don't have to go to this church, but go to somewhere. Don't let these things in our life remove us. The race changes. Listen, I'll give you a simple example. I'll tell you what I do not do, and it's rare, and it's only a little bit, is I don't weed whack my yard. Now, I have a nice steel weed whacker. Steel, STIHL. It's a brand. Oh, he's a steel one. Mine's plastic. Okay, what do you have? No. Listen, the length of it and the shoulder strap on or off and the length of my body or my arms and then the angle of the weed whacking string, vinyl, plastic, whatever that is, whatever it's called. Forgive me for not knowing it right now. Brain injury. It begins, I'm telling you, that little task is so painful on my body. But it's still got to be done. And this is what I mean by the race changes. I don't do things as fast or as long sometimes. Some days are pretty good, some days are really rough. Physically, mentally, emotionally. I'm just being honest with you. It's been over four years of fighting this. So you know what I discovered? Is the tall grass and the weeds next to my walkway and around my patio, they still need to be trimmed. So I discovered something, that there's a way for me to get this grass down. I went to the store and I got a jug, and it's got little holes with a spray handle. It's called Grass and Weed Killer. So I walk along with a little squirt gun. And in a few days, they start to shrivel up. And eventually, it leaves like a dark brown strip next to the sidewalk and the patio where you would normally just trim it real nice. It doesn't look as great, but guess what? There's no grass and weeds growing tall next to my walkway or my patio. I accomplished the same task. I just had to learn to do it different. I still have to get the job done. I still got to do it. I still got to come to the office. Still got to meet with people. I still got to prepare. I still got to pray. It's just that, you know, sometimes The simple things now have become difficult for me. I try to hide it the best I can. Those closest to me start to notice it. I had to have a talk with my staff. I had a talk with the board back when this was happening. And I said, at some moment where I don't function as I should as the pastor, and you notice it, I said, you let me know. I am not going to cheat the Lord or this body with God's help. But there's days, I'll just tell you, the race starts, and sometimes I feel like I didn't get to the starting line on time. And at first it was so frustrating. Then I realized, the Lord started speaking to me, listen, you endure. You keep showing up. Whether you are there for the starter's pistol or not, you keep showing up. You keep going. And it's amazing the doors of ministry actually that have opened to many of our military people who struggle with PTSD or similar things. Because they tell me their story and I begin to understand and we exchange a little bit. And I've had marvelous conversations with a lot of people. Or with people who've gone and dealing with some depression things. The Lord has given me an understanding that I don't know if I could ever understood any other way. But there are some days, if that's the finish line, I will tell you, you know, if this is the finish line and you're running a race, I will tell you that there are days that I can't run. I walk, I'll crawl. There are days I just feel like some of the easy things are so that I just feel like I don't get across the finish line, but my hand does. And I don't know what you face. I'm just telling you to persevere. Let the Lord strengthen you even when you don't understand. Just crawl, drag yourself, whatever you got to do. Don't let whatever has happened in your life take you out of the race. Walk, crawl, trust Him, read His Word. When you don't understand, just trust Him. Keep going. You're overwhelmed, you're exhausted, don't worry. Trust Him, obey His Word at any cost. And this perseverance, the testing of your faith, the fruit of perseverance will bring you and empower you and raise you up to a place one day where you are complete, you are mature, and you will lack nothing. Why don't you stand up, please, all over this room. When your marriage is tough, you stay humble and you just crawl. You do what's right before Him. You endure. If your struggle is bitterness, get rid of it, man. You keep fighting it. You go be nice to those who hurt you, those who mistreated you. Don't leave room for this other stuff to take you out of the way of letting perseverance work on your behalf to bring you to a place of completion. You fight the good fight of faith. And Jesus is the master. He is the Lord. He knows what He's talking about. He left where He was at to come and be among us and endure a cross and descend into hell and raise again to make a way for you and I to walk in an honorable way to just bring Him pleasure. Bring Him pleasure. And if there's things we don't understand, then so what? We don't understand it now. Don't get so wrapped up in why. Get wrapped up in I'm still here. And it's tough. But I'm going to persevere. Let persevere have its work. And He will make you. He will make you complete. And He will finish. But if you choose to quit, don't expect to be mature, don't expect to be complete, and don't expect to be content and fulfilled and satisfied because you will lack so much. But if you stay with it, you'll lack nothing. And I've come to a point, I'll be honest with you, the pain in my body, that's worse some days than others. It's just my body. It's just my body. Why should I let that contaminate my spirit or my soul? You kidding me? I've missed a point of perseverance then. And there's a point to it. It's about maturity and completeness.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.